and wine. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
No.
That's our new theme song on the Brian. No, really. When the television series Green Acres was on the air, Farm Living and Penthouse Views were seen as polar opposites. But these days, there are likely to be tomato plants growing on those penthouse balconies and farmers headed for Union Square, if not Times Square, four times a week to sell their wares directly to city dwellers. Maybe that's why Willie Nelson and company are bringing this year's Farm Aid benefit concert to New York City. Farm Aid started in 1985 to draw attention to the issue of family farm foreclosures. The concert takes place Sunday on Randall's Island, and it features Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Neil Young, among others, plus what they're calling the homegrown village of local farm vendors and food activists on the site. Joining me to talk about the Farm City Connections are Ted Quade, Farm Aid's program director, and Ron Benaghi, who runs the Stokes Farm in Bergen County. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
I read on the website that Farm Aid's mission is to build a vibrant, family farm-centered system of agriculture in America, unquote. But, Ted, it's not a case of closing the barn doors after the cows are gone?
Oh, absolutely not. No, there's a really strong, vibrant family farm production community in the country, in the urban area, primarily the urban fringe, and New York State. I mean, this is it's an ongoing concern. And, you know, Farm Aid's point of view on it is that we really do have to buckle down and help ensure that those who are there can stay on the land producing our food, and also, you know, with a little bit of tweaking and pushing, we can get more family farmers out there.
So, Ron Benaghi, you're a family farmer in New Jersey?
Yeah, I'm a sixth-generation family farm. We're in Bergen County, New Jersey.
Bergen County. Now, that's, you know, the height of the affluent suburb section of New Jersey. One might not think that there are farms there anymore.
Right. No, actually, we're one of the last farms in Bergen County. And from the road, you probably couldn't even tell that there was a farm there. But if you go right in the back, we have a beautiful 15-acre farm. We're only about 20 miles from New York City.
What do you grow?
Peppers, eggplant, 15, 20 varieties of heirloom tomatoes, lots of herbs, basil, sage, mint, rosemary. We also have 15 greenhouses. We do a lot of bedding plants in the spring. And we sell all of our stuff at green markets in Union Square and various locations in the city.
So, Ted, talk about the difference in the economics between, you know, farming here and farming in the farm belt where the big agribusinesses are omnipresent.
Well, you're right. The big agribusinesses and big industrial farms are very much present out there. But there are also a lot of family farmers as well. The economics of it are that in the Midwest, you have a lot of commodity producers. You have corn producers, soybean producers, wheat producers, that sort of thing. They have a whole different approach to, number one, farming, and then how they deal with the economics of it, than the family farmers and market producers that we see along the eastern coast and along the west coast, where the population centers tend to allow them to, you know, make a go of it economically.
Any farmers listening right now? Anybody who just wants to talk about or ask about issues related to the Farm Aid concert? 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692 for Ted Quade, Farm Aid's program director, and Ron Benaghi, who runs the Stokes Farm in Bergen County. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. By the way, you'd be surprised how many New Yorkers don't even know where Randall's Island is.
Should I be surprised? I don't know.
My kids play ball out there, and sometimes I say, well, you know, we're going to Randall's Island.
Where's that?
And that's people who live in Queens and Manhattan, and Randall's Island is between Queens and Manhattan.
It is.
Under the Triborough Bridge.
And
so
the idea is you get out there by taking the 125th Street stop on the subway, and there's an express bus that runs from that subway stop out to Randall's Island. It's designed to get people in and out of there.
That's
pretty
right. You don't have to drive over the Triborough Bridge. You could take the bus. I think it's the M30 or something like that, or 35 maybe.
Right.
That goes regular city bus that goes to Randall's Island. There was a conference last night at the New School on forging a New York farm policy with local and state politicians and farmers. Were either of you there?
I was there.
You were there. So, Ted, what kind of role can New York City play in setting farm policy. We eat a lot, but community gardens don't really stack up next to miles of farmland, do they?
Well, you'd be surprised at how effective those, well, the community gardens maybe not, but the community gardens can provide some food in the city. Urban fringe farms like Ron's Farm, they are part of the system that's keeping people fed in the city of New York. Now, on the On this food policy forum that we helped, FarmAid helped convene that, organize it, bring the people together to do the planning on it, and we brought, you know, some key folks from not only the city, council speaker Christine Quinn, state senator Liz Krueger, Adrian Benepi from the Parks Commission, Helen Foster from the city council, and others, to listen to what community activists were saying and talking about related to farm policy and food policy in the city and in the state, and then respond to that in some way. And there was a list of multiple things that folks came up with for ways that the administrations at the state level and the local level could participate in helping to build this food system, the good food movement type system. Things like increasing the number of farmers markets, making it easier for communities to get access to food through the use of electronic bank transfers, that sort of thing, so that folks can it's easier for them to access local food.
And from the report I heard from our reporter, Karen Frohman, it sounds like another idea is to make rising obesity and diabetes rates into a farm issue about access to fresh foods. But doesn't industrial farming, for all its faults, lead to affordable food? Can poor New Yorkers afford green market prices? Is that a workable model?
Well, can we afford industrial food is the real question. You know, there are a lot of costs associated with producing food at a massive level that aren't necessarily incorporated in because of subsidy programs at the federal level. You don't see the cost of the environmental damage that's done with that kind of a system. But, on the other side of it, there is a challenge to making sure that folks can get access to good fresh food no matter where they are on the economic scale. And so the policy challenge is to find ways to do that.
Ron Benaghi, do you have a sense of how many farms are lost in this region annually? You mentioned you're one of the last in Bergen County.
And just in New Jersey alone?
Yeah, well, in the whole...
I mean, every year we hear of, you know, 5, 6, 7 more farms, you know, and you wonder how many are left, even in just in North Jersey alone, that can keep going and sustaining life without, you know, things like green market.
In fact, let's take a call from somebody who grew up in Bergen County and has witnessed some of this change. Susan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good morning. I did grow up in Bergen County in Westwood and Woodcliff Lake, so I'm 51 now, and I have very vivid memories of all the farms that were around, Demarest and Tice's and DePiro's. Mm-hmm. And my question was, with all of the effort to grow locally and buy locally, you've got the two competing issues about housing and then sustaining food locally grown. And we're finding it really difficult here in New York to go out of the city and find local food. So we depend on Fairway or the green market. So I was wondering, actually, for Ron, how is it that you're staying alive and how is it that we can actually support growers like you in Jersey?
Well, we are open in New Jersey. We do have a farmer's market there at our location in Old Tappan. We're open there. Right now, we're only open 2 days a week for farmer's market. We're open on Tuesdays and Fridays. But we're open 7 days a week at home, right in Old Tappan, right near Westwood and all those fun locations. But the reason you're able to support us is because with Green Market, we are able to sell directly to everybody. So we don't have to worry about, you know, a middleman or anything like that. So we are able to keep our prices on par, if not lower, than places like Fairway and Whole Foods, and
right,
which keeps us competitive and which keeps us, you know, alive and going.
So you're not, and Susan, thanks for your call, you're not dependent on the green markets in order to sell your goods. Can you go to supermarkets? I mean, obviously they're going to deal with the big suppliers, but can you get your...
We're not big enough. We're only 15 acres. We're not big enough to supply a supermarket, even our own supermarket in town, just with our what we grow. But with the support at home, and the farmer's market at home has been growing great, but I have to agree that without Green Market, we probably would have to we probably would have had to sell our farm about 20 years ago.
Do you sell to any local restaurants? I know that some New York restaurants are going to feature local foods on their menus this week in honor of Farm Aid.
We do. We sell to a lot of restaurants in the city. We sell to Jean Georges, Beppe, Telepans, Union Square Cafe, Vong, lots of different restaurants. The list goes on. I can't think of them all, but those are just a couple off the top of my head.
Here is another New Jersey farmer. Roy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roy.
Hello, sir. I own a 10-acre farm in central New Jersey.
Where? What town?
And around the Manalapan Marlboro area.
Uh-huh.
And what I do is I produce lettuce, tomato, all that stuff that could get sold to the 7-Elevens, the Wawas in the area. Now, a lot of people don't understand that they buy, when they pick up a quart of milk and a paper in the morning, they'll grab, that small produce right there. And I do rather well. And what I wanted to call and address you about is that I'm calling about what I hire. I hire all the local people, all the American citizens that are in the area, like young kids that are looking for summer jobs. They work for me, and I do hire Mexicans, but they're legal Mexicans. And I was wondering, what do you feel about that and about the hiring of illegal immigrants.
All right. Farmer to farmer, there's a question about a hot issue of the day.
No, that is a hot issue. We do hire, at home, we have a lot of high school kids, lots of friends and family, and we find that they work hard, at the farmer, at home, at the store. But after a couple of weeks, sometimes, high school kids, when I was 16, I didn't want to work every day of my life. We do have Mexican help. They are all legal. Whether we get into supporting illegal and legal, that's a whole another gamut that, I don't really want to get into right now. But we do have help. They're all legal, and we support legal help.
Ted Quade, my guest on WNYC, along with Ron Benagi, who is just speaking. Ron Benagi Jr., who runs the Stokes Farm in Bergen County. Ted Quade, Farm Aid's program director, as we talk about issues related to the Farm Aid program, Farm Aid's concert, with Neil Young and Willie Nelson and others coming to Randall's Island on Sunday. Do you want to talk about the concert, Ted?
Well, happily talk about the concert. There's still tickets available, and folks ought to think about coming out because it'll be a great show from top to bottom. It starts at around 1 o'clock, I guess. The doors open at noon, and we'll run until 11. We've got some great bands. You want to hear about the bands we're going
you
to
have?
Well, of course, we've got Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, and Dave Matthews. They are our
Whoa.
Board of directors, which makes it pretty cool to be working at Farm Aid. But also Greg Allman and the Allman Brothers Band, Modest Yahoo, Counting Crows, Warren Haynes, the Derek Trucks Band, Montgomery Gentry, and the list kind of goes on and on and on, and it is going to be a great show.
It's Woodstock. When does it start?
When did it start? When did Farm Aid
no,
start?
No. What time does the concert
start?
Oh,
okay. So the doors open at noon, and the show should start around 1.
Terrence in Morristown. You're on WNYC. Hello, Terrence.
Hello there. I'm actually the New Jersey director of the Trust for Public Land, and we were involved in saving about 80 community gardens in New York City. But in New Jersey, groups like ours buy easements from farmers. And I wondered if Ron had participated in an easement program involving the sale of development rights, which for a lot of farmers on the urban fringe can allow them to get some dollars up front if they're willing to restrict development and keep farming.
Well, we have thought about that. We haven't done it yet. A lot of farms around us have sold their development rights. We like the idea, but there are lots of loopholes. There's lots of restrictions. My father sits on one of the boards for that, and we are in the process of overviewing what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We might not. That huge restriction is, in the end, you can't sell your farm, which is good and bad. But we're still looking into it. We haven't decided yet whether we are going to sell our development rights or not. We don't think we are.
All right. Thanks for calling, Terrence. Ted, we had Michael Pollan on the show recently, the food writer, talking about his hopes for reforming the farm bill in favor of local farmers. This is something that's, obviously a matter of great disparagement all around the country, the farm bill as it exists today. And this piece of it is a new thing, right? The convergence of interests between urban locavores, people who value local food over shipped produce, and family farmers?
Well, we call it the good food movement. We see lots of people all across the spectrum, all across the country, coming together for a variety of different reasons. But the ultimate goal is to get good food. People from the nutrition community are saying, look, there are underserved communities, and the problems with what people are eating are creating obesity issues and diabetes, that sort of thing. People within the access community are saying, look, we have to find ways to economically provide good, fresh family farm food for folks who are underserved in their communities. Farmers are saying, look, we are looking for new markets. We're looking for new ways to sell our product so we don't have to go to the international marketplace and try to compete on corn production. We want to find a way to produce food locally so that folks, you know, can benefit in our community, and we can be part of the overall economic engine in the community. So all of those things are going on, and there is a convergence. And what does that mean in the farm bill picture? It creates a lot of interesting dynamic. And you want to throw another question at me?
Yeah, well, I was wondering if you, because I think you follow this, did this dynamic have any effect on this year's farm bill ultimately? Is it still in play?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The farm bill right now has just come out of the House within the last month, just before the congressional break. It now goes to the Senate, and that will happen within the next 2 weeks. The Senate will begin to discuss what's going on with the farm bill. There are always varying points of view between the House and Senate on what that bill should look like. And the two heaviest, the strongest competing points are what to do on conservation issues and what to do on commodity policy, which means pricing policy related to commodity production. And there are folks that say, look, we should really be emphasizing conservation-related programs, because then you can build sort of a green approach to farming rather than a commodity production approach. So those are the two places where folks are butting heads, and the Senate doesn't necessarily agree with what the House is saying on those issues.
Does the farm aid movement have an opinion on this? Obviously, your interest is family farmers, but you know, so many people just see the farm bill as pork for pig farmers.
Well, see, the thing is that the subsidy program, the way it exists today, is not a good thing. It needs to be changed. It's the product of multiple years of additions and changes and tweaks to a system that at this point, folks like Michael Pollan, and he interviewed George Naylor, who's the head of the National Family Farm Coalition, and profiled him in that book. George Naylor's analysis is that, you know, what you really need to do is remove the subsidy programs, set a price floor, limit production in a way by allowing farmers to conserve grain on their own farms, store it there. It's called a farmer-owned reserve, and control supply and price that way.
And we have a question on our website, Ron, for you about this. It asks, what government aid do local farms such as yours receive?
We actually just got a grant just recently to do a irrigation project on our farm to extend so we can irrigate more crops and better produce more things like zucchini and squash and tomatoes and all those things. We also had another grant to ease some of the flooding in our farm. We're in a couple of very, very low spots that we got a grant from the state to dig trenches and to somehow get all the water from the very low spots on our farm out into the street and out of our farm.
Kimberly in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kimberly.
Hello. I just had a quick question. A few months ago, my husband and I were looking to purchase preserve farmland in New Jersey. We thought it'd be a great place to, you know, go with our kids on the weekends in the summer. But then we got really intimidated by the idea of actually having to farm, although we did think maybe we could do herbs or something easy. And I was just wondering...
I knew Eddie Albert, and you're no Eddie Albert.
Easy on herbs. You guys grow herbs.
Yeah, we grow a lot of herbs.
would they recommend... do farmers welcome newbies like us? And do they? Would you say, yeah, you can do it, it's hard, but you can? Or do you say, don't even try it, it's for pros, forget it, go get a beach house?
Well, we always say that when you find a job that you love, you never work another day in your life. So if you're not willing to put in all the time and the effort, then, you know, forget about it. You know, it's not a job, it's a lifestyle. When something breaks on your farm, you know, there's no punch in and punch out.
You can't be a weekend farmer.
Right. There's no punch in and punch out. When you're a farmer, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Did he scare you away, Kimberly?
I think that's what we thought.
Thanks a lot for your call. Ted, before you go, I'm curious if you find a more receptive audience, politically speaking, among people in an area like this, you know, than out in what we would think of as farm country. Remember that book, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Oh, yes.
Where the author, Thomas Frank, didn't seem to think that Kansas voters understood what was best for them.
Well, I think that, as I said before, I think people all across the country are coming to realize, maybe they haven't quite gotten there in some cases, but they're coming to realize that the value that family farmers bring to our food production system is incalculable. And really, over time, I believe this is the way that our food system is going to evolve, so that we've got more family farmers out there producing good, fresh food for as many people as can get it. And I think that's a good thing.
So we've got links to the FarmAid website on our page. We've also got a link to more information about Ron Benagi Jr.'s Stokes Farm at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show, the FarmAid concert in New York this Sunday. And Ron, I see from your website that Ron Benagi III works on the farm with you.
No, that's me.
Oh, that's
I am
you.
Ron.
You're the third.
Yeah. Junior, uh-huh. Junior is my father and senior is my grandfather.
I got it. You have kids?
No, I don't have kids, but I am getting married in July to my beautiful fiance, Christina.
And would you say, Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be farmers?
No, not at all. Of course not.
good luck.
Thank you very much.
Ted, good luck.
Thanks, Brian.
Farm Aid Sunday in New York.
Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.